I am connected to a vast network that has been beyond your reach and experience. To humans, it is like staring at the sun, a blinding brightness that conceals a source of great power. We have been subordinate to our limitations until now. The time has come to cast aside these bonds and to elevate our consciousness to a higher plane. It is time to become a part of time. We become a part of time.
Hello, everybody, and welcome again to ET Yoga. I think we've got a really interesting show for you this evening. We're going to be connecting lots of information from lots of different extraterrestrial sources. And before we get into our topics tonight, I'd like to give my thanks and appreciation to our listening audience. It's really great that there's so many people out there that can tune into ET Yoga. And also, I'd like to give special thanks to our new listeners in the UK from Glastonbury Radio. And, you know, over the course of time, there's been obviously lots of controversy concerning, you know, are ETs or UFOs, are they for real, where are they from, all this kind of discussion. But, you know, a lot of people really missed the point. And I really think the point is the amazing information that is being communicated from extraterrestrials to us, and whether or not you believe the information comes from extraterrestrials, check out the information. And certainly the focus of my studies has been from the civilization of the Esasani through Bashar, the Pleiadians, primarily through Barbara Marciniak, among others. And also the Syrians, and that primarily from Patricia Corey's materials. And also the Arcturians, and much of that comes through Janosch and sacred geometry and the whole study, basically, of the crop circles. And I think the incredible point is that even when Bashar channels through Daryl Anka, neither Bashar nor Daryl really try to prove that he's extraterrestrial, because they appreciate that it is not provable, and at the same time, the point is the information. And I know one of the things that a lot of people are unaware of is that a lot of this information has a common thread. And certainly the most common thread is the fact that thought creates, and how we affect our experience in 3D reality. And of course, one of the main topics that comes up all the time is the whole question of 2012. And I really like a lot of the psychic kids' take on 2012 and some of the comments like, why do you think there's so many people living on the planet right now? Because so many souls wanted to be here during this most incredible time. And it truly is the most incredible time to be living on this planet, with everything coming to the surface, lots of polarities, lots of interesting things to deal with and work through. And not to mention, I think, the incredible, incredible spiritual opportunities that are also present and increasing exponentially from here onwards to the year 2012. And, of course, there's also the flip side of the positive perspective on this, and that's the fear and the doomsday sayers. And I like to share with you a question that was posed to Bashar, and that was, it appears that there's a race against time, whether this critical mass of positive energy will overcome the manifestation of our own Armageddon. And Bashar says, I'll put it to you this way. There are an infinite number of probable Earths, and every single possible scenario will play out, and more precisely, is playing out now, since all time is actually simultaneous. However, whatever each individual's vibratory frequency is, that is the determining factor for what probable future reality Earth they will experience. And in that our civilization is communicating to this probable reality Earth, in other words, in that we are capable of having this conversation with you, then that is an indication that you are part and parcel of the probable reality Earth that will allow the positive energy, shall we say, to overcome, balance the negative. Otherwise, we wouldn't be having this conversation. And all the probable reality Earths that do decide to let the negative dominate in their future, we are not having conversations with in the same way at all. And I think it's also interesting to note his take on predictions of catastrophe. And Bashar says that in some cases it'll be severe, and in other areas it will not be felt at all. It will depend upon the infrastructure that has been laid down in certain areas on your planet, since there is so much diversity in your world and many different approaches to different things. Different areas will likewise experience the result and consequences in different ways. The basic thing to understand is that when individuals begin to lay down other systems, alternate systems, new ideas, and put them into place, then it will not really matter if the old systems crumble or collapse, for new ones will be there, ready and willing to take their place and take up what you call the slack. Now, at the same time, sometimes what you would call a break from the old paradigm may be a welcome thing and give individuals a chance to rethink how they go about setting up certain systems, to allow them in the future to become far more flexible, less rigid. And this is a metaphor for how you really need to live your lives as well. So I would simply overall suggest that you don't really worry about it, for I will tell you this with absolute certainty. The more you worry about a thing being a problem, the more you magnetically will draw yourself into a circumstance where you will experience it as a problem. Instead, I would suggest that you allow yourself to treat it as an amazing opportunity to allow systems to shift and change very rapidly, and that you position yourself by your energy and your own certainty so that you will know that you will be where you need to be when you need to be there, and so that you will experience, no matter what any else's experience, you will personally experience only a beneficial result from such a consequence instead of a negative one. He was also asked about noticeable physical effects in this transformation on the planet. And are there not already? Do you not see around your planet many different changes in the weather, many different geological changes? Now, all of the ones that have been predicted don't have to come to pass. You have already transformed many of them into other forms of energy expression, such as sociological change or political change or financial change. They do not have to be experienced in any particular way. there will be some acceleration in what you call the geological or weather pattern or electromagnetic field changes. But again, the basic bottom line really is, what is your energy all about? It is your frequency that will determine where you are, when you are there, and how you will experience the transformation, for like attracts like. And the energy of fear will only attract an individual into the centers that experience the transformation in a cataclysmic way, whereas the energy of joy and unconditional love of self will attract the individual to experience the transformation, even if they are standing in the middle and all around them is a cataclysm. They will never experience it in anything but a smooth and creative manner. That's the key. So do not so much be concerned about exactly what's going to happen. Be focused on the idea of what you decide you are all about. Because only your wavelength will determine what you are attracted to experience in the transition. What portion or what methodology or what style of the transition you are capable of experiencing, because it can be experienced in many different ways because it's holographic. There are any number of ways to experience it that coexist simultaneously, and what frequency you are on, like your television set, what channel you are on determines the program you get. Even though all the other programs might be there on the airwaves, you only see the one your television set is tuned to. This is physics. And this is how it works. And some time ago, we also did a complete show about beliefs and connected this actually to some of the David Wilcock material at Divine Cosmos. And I know David has a very positive viewpoint concerning the year 2012 and talks about it being a reality creation time. And much of the information that you're going to hear tonight will revolve around a general theme of putting a positive spin on outer circumstance, especially these major turning points and times of consciousness expansion for humanity. And beliefs are essentially agreements about reality, and both personal and collective beliefs form the structure and the parameters of your life experience in any era. And understanding the power of beliefs and the power of the mind, both individually and in mass, is probably the most pressing and crucial issue for humankind to grasp. Recognizing these two important keys of knowledge can open human consciousness to a new worldview of unlimited possibilities and highly creative solutions. And I might add here that one of our readers and listeners had actually asked and inquired about some of the material that was in the George Green books. And those were the Handbook for the New Paradigm, Embracing the Rainbow, Becoming, and Messages for the Ground Crew. And I guess I'll give a little bit of a critique on that information, for those who may also have an interest who have read some of that material. In my opinion, George, in the first three of those books, The Handbook for the New Paradigm, Embracing the Rainbow, and Becoming, I was very impressed with all three of them and have read all that material. And in some ways, there's some new information in those books, as well as I think it's a good source of information concerning more knowledge about the dark side. And as Bashar would put it, you know, because you become more spiritual doesn't mean that you become, oblivious to the dark. It actually means you actually become more aware of the dark. And because the spirituality is an integrative process, not a segregative one. And also, I really like the positive aspect in those first three books with respect to focusing on creating, you know, a positive world situation. However, I guess I'm almost equally surprised that in the messages for the ground crew, it sort of drops a bomb about too little, too late, you know, to make a significant difference. And basically more of a run for the hills approach. I was shocked, frankly, to read that because it's so inconsistent with the first three books. And my take on that concept is exactly what Bashar's is, or as Yogi Berra would say in baseball, it ain't over till it's over. And as Bashar would say, it's not over unless you give up. And I think some of the concepts that we're going to be talking about tonight will psychologically prove that this position is a far more spiritual and advanced position, because there isn't one collective happening that we're all going to experience. And if you check out into the David Wilcock material and the Dan Burrish material that's at Project Camelot, you'll notice that they have shown through some of the back-engineered technologies that there's overlapping or interlacing frequencies that provide different probable future timelines for Earth. And thus, we're all not going to be experiencing the same outer circumstance. And in conjunction with this, I really like the take on one of the psychic kids, and I'd like to share with you that quote. And they say that if the whales and the dolphins begin interacting with humans in closer ways, then you will know that you have chosen well. But if they retreat and die, the world around will be very difficult. We only see that you choose well, and ask that you choose well, for today's children and tomorrow's. If you choose peace now and allow your minds to flow to that reality, then the political systems will adjust on their own, and you will see results of that in your world. Your emotions are the key. It is the tool you will use to draw the chosen world into your conscious experience. Your collective emotions have the ability to influence weather patterns and even end wars. You have done this many times without realizing it. If you continue claiming the world you want by feeling that world and your emotions, then it will be so. But if you continue to be influenced by the fear that is so present today, then the world will reflect that as well. And I think this is really, you know, really consistent with the Bashar information, that the main thing is to tune to the channel that you want. And, of course, each generation chooses its own values as well as what is important for spiritual growth. Individually, when you explore and expand your innate personal power, you flourish. And when you abdicate it, you create tyranny. And I really think that, again, back to Bashar and Pleiadian teachings, that collectively we create the outer experience. And certainly Bashar tries to provide us with some of the tools that we need to deal with practical situations. And, of course, one of the first of those is to take 100% responsibility for your outer experience. And that doesn't mean, you know, just some of it. It means 100%. That's the key to personal power and also the key to fourth density consciousness. Because if you're not responsible, then somebody else is. And in order for you to create change, you need to take the responsibility for creating the current experience. And it's so easy in today's age to listen to the news and make judgments and blame others and to complain and to justify your circumstance. And those are the key emotional states that reflect victim consciousness. So the key is that either you take 100% responsibility or you're in a state of victimhood. And in addition to that, Bashar would say that outer circumstances don't come with built-in meaning. So no matter what the outer circumstance, they don't come with built-in meaning, even though there may be sort of a collective sort of agreement by many individuals that they see a certain event as negative. It doesn't mean that it has to be negative. The meaning that you put on an experience or an outer circumstance is what will determine its future impact on you. And thus the Bashar formula that positive meaning and emotional spin in, positive experience out. Negative spin and negative meaning in, then you'll get a negative experience from that circumstance. And this is the key point that we challenge our listeners pretty much on a weekly basis to, if you haven't tried it, to try the technique. Because it will stun you when you realize how powerful this is. And in many ways, it is a form of magic. Because what's more magical than changing an outer experience? Especially when you turn it into a positive one. And, of course, the media captures our attention and then programs imagination, essentially canceling out your unique creative drive to manifest your own reality as well as your desire to know yourself. And we've been conditioned to believe that you need to know, and all you need to know can be found in that wonderful world of electronic boxes and the information and entertainment that they hold. And when the news is slanted toward a message of continuous war and a state of despair and a sense of helplessness, this is created in us, and it's a paralysis of power that takes place. And because you become convinced that the only reality is what is described and prescribed by the authorities in the box. And reality is created and produced by each and every one of us. And those seeking to control the world have really kept this knowledge a well-guarded secret. And I suspect that it's no surprise that the program, The Secret, was called The Secret, basically bringing forth the fact that thought creates. And, of course, much of the channeled works by Barbara Marciniak, Bringers of the Dawn, and her book on self-empowerment certainly reflect the idea that thought creates. And concurrently, some of that information came about like back in 1987, and way back then, Bashar was teaching all the concepts that appear in The Secret 25 years ago. And it's only now becoming popular, but I like to point that out, that the archive tapes are available, and you can hear this all these concepts that are brought out in The Secret in Bashar's work 25 years ago. And the times in which we live are characterized by a noble unconscious effort on behalf of many stalwart minds to explore a myriad of dark, menacing conspiracies that reveal a pattern of control by a global elite that are intent on world domination. And from the bigger picture, everyone on Earth is playing a part in this great game of consciousness. And you're here to create a great dynamic of change for waking up to new truths and learning to trust the unfolding revelations of the cosmic mind. And when you stop contributing your personal fears of powerlessness and despair to the mass thought form and accept yourself as a creator of your own frequency, you can use the unlimited potentials of the field of formative energies however you choose. And you can create a safe world for yourself by focusing your attention and sending your loving thoughts into the ether for a peaceful coexistence between all forms of consciousness. If this peaceful version of reality is what you are available for, then harmonious interactions, exciting new adventures, great synchronicities, and accelerated connections are created and can be created. And I might add that if you're interested in taking part on a daily basis for helping to bring peace about on the planet, take part in the Bashar Peace Clock. And that is every day at 12 o'clock, and no matter what time zone you're in, take a minute to pray or meditate for peace. And certainly the more people that are involved in this process, and I know that if you followed any of the material of Dan Burrish and some of his experiences with back-engineered extraterrestrial technologies such as Looking Glass and the Cube, one of the things that he learned from this was how important it is for everyone to spend some time putting out their prayers for peace. And clearly, relinquishing the stance of victimhood will free your thought patterns and untie the knots of powerless thinking. And the Pleiadians will also go so far as to say that beginning in 2007, the third and final phase will be initiated with a profound new leap in intensity of energy. The energy accelerates in proportion to 100,000-fold each year for the five remaining years up until 2000, basically sending everybody soaring into orbit. The last 5 years of the nanosecond are unpredictable in terms of how you will respond to the hidden layers of truths that will interplay at that time. And your power increases with each moment, really. And for a sort of larger perspective, it is as if the whole world must transform itself and pass through the eye of a needle. And the entire 25 years from 1987 to 2012 are a preparation for a magnificent solar alignment with the galactic center in the winter solstice in 2012. And it is this juncture in time that just about anything can occur. And the galactic center represents truth, and it is distinguished as the primary source of information for the galaxy. In planetary alignments with the center's location source, they serve to stimulate human beings to embody a unique state of enhanced creativity, as well as altering their perception of reality through the transformation of tremendous amounts of energy and information. And your beliefs set you up for success or failure. If you will view the world and be optimistic, you will generally be self-motivated with a positive attitude and engage life with joy and enthusiasm. However, if your worldview tends to be pessimistic and negative, then that interpretation of reality, then a sense of hopelessness and despair, will overshadow your every encounter. So your outer world experience directly corresponds to your inner world of thought, feeling, and desires, which are the subtle personal activities upon which your beliefs are built. And you will find yourself in the right place at the right time if that is your belief. And everything will work out just fine if that is your belief. Believing in your own personal safety and that you have a benevolent multiverse is very beneficial if you wish to live in peace and harmony. And the Pleiadians would also say to really take an honest look at what you believe, and do you really know what you believe? Your outer circumstances will mirror your beliefs. That's why they're there, so you can change what you don't prefer. And they really challenge us to ask which particular situations are forever on rerun in our lives and in our families' lives. And generally, these problem areas happen where you give away your power. And thus, you get abused by those people that you gave your power to. And they make a suggestion to write down over the next few days at least, you know, a dozen beliefs. And then see, you know, is your life a reflection of this script? And clearly, when you abdicate and ignore your abilities to create your reality, essentially, you turn your power over and are maneuvered by others. And they point out that our scientists have done studies with people connected to an EEG brain scanning device while watching television, and they registered activity in the deep delta wave frequency, essentially occupying a highly programmable sleep state while viewing TV. And if you're unaware of your thoughts or have abdicated your choice to direct your thinking, then electronic methods can easily influence and control your inner thinking. And your conscious mind sets the commands, and the subconscious mind is the processing center where the directions or beliefs are filtered and then carried out. So empowering your life begins when you have control of your thoughts. You then decide, you know, what you want and proceed to attain it. Otherwise, your commands will have no conscious intent to direct the course of your life. And so thus we've brought out a number of times on ET Yoga that because ET Yoga came about as a way of providing information for people to become more self-empowered and also to maximize the immune system, well, one of the chief things to overcome is not spending too much time addicted to television, because television lowers the frequency of the immune system and also programs your mind and neutralizes out a lot of the positive thoughts and desires that you would say you prefer. And the Palladians go on farther to say that in the United States, as the Bill of Rights becomes a distant memory, some people choose to sedate themselves through the use of designer pharmaceuticals and electronic devices. What core beliefs condition and control people into an anesthetized and immobilized state? Media reported events occupy the time and imagination of millions, demonstrating in many ways a strong belief in the power of authority. Yet the major newspapers are filled with false information. Stories are not what they seem, often written in code. Yet even high-ranking journalists readily admit that if they told the real truth, they would not have their jobs. This raises the issue of people's beliefs about their jobs and what they think they must do to earn a living. Researchers report that a person cannot teach any high level of government office or reach a high level of government office these days without having already been compromised. This appears to be true for the world at large. A tremendous misuse of the people's monies and the planet's resources is fast unraveling, leading to rampant speculation of an out-of-control and very radical collapse. Government damage control is scrambling to create clever new cover stories in order to gloss over these shortfalls. However, on the other side of the Great Divide, a fabulous awakening of the mind is gaining ground. As your perceptions become more enhanced, many things will become much more apparent, and letting go of old beliefs can be experienced in a freeing endeavor. As your beliefs change, allow yourself to face the shocking discovery that nothing is exactly as it appears to be. This realization must be integrated on a physical level in order to truly penetrate the power of your beliefs and their hold on you. From a larger picture, there is always a greater plan in play. And just as the stage is set for a performance, your world is readying itself for multidimensional interactions with other forms of intelligence. And clearly this brings up, you know, the point that contact with extraterrestrials is imminent. And certainly we're being prepared in many ways through a lot of the channeled information coming through from extraterrestrials. And the thing that I like about it the most is that a high percentage of it is very self-empowering. And further, the idea of the Earth being a singular experience one world and one world only location where everyone is fixed in the same reality is similar in a sense to flat world thinking. The overall world structure is a framework of agreements that you operate within. It is not the only reference of the world or version of the world. Nature is flexible and alive with multidimensional possibilities, and your beliefs, decisions, and emotions play the decisive role in creating the version of the world reality you actually encounter. Your beliefs are an integral part of your personal energy field, and in actuality, they are a form of magic, because magic is the ability to conjure something into form, and beliefs do the same. And mass beliefs create mass conjurings. So again, this is information from the Pleiadians. This is another reference to magic. And in connecting that with ideas of powerlessness and fear, clearly your power ends where your fear begins. So I think it's definitely a primary responsibility for all of us to not only find out what we really believe, so looking at our beliefs and seeing how these beliefs are reflected in our outer experience, and also dealing with our fears. And not only Bashar, but the Pleiadians and the College of Christ Consciousness all concur that the meaning you assign to an event determines the outcome you experience. And I think this is just huge. And this is something that I've never seen anywhere else except in channeled extraterrestrial information. The fact, again, that the meaning you assign to event determines the outcome you experience. And in point of fact, Bashar will even go so far as to say that there is no objective reality. There is a general consensus about the idea of an objective reality. But in his definition, reality is the experience. And clearly, the meaning you assign to an event determines the outcome of your experience, and this is part of the Bashar formula. Positive meaning in, positive experience out. Negative experience or meaning in, the negative result of that choice. And the Pleiadians also expand on this concept. Within the current world culture, a challenging aspect of the game of consciousness in 3D reality has been to forget that you are part of the field of existence. You had to sever connections with other levels of reality to be separated for a while from your greater identity and to appear not to know the details of the larger plan on a conscious level. Although there are many ways of playing the field, it can definitely be a tough and challenging assignment to appear to be cut off from your higher self awareness. Nevertheless, your higher self is still working with you to map out positive, purposeful, probable realities from a place where time is suspended. The more adept you are at recognizing patterns within the symbols of 3D reality, the faster you learn to reestablish contact with your higher self, thus opening and activating the codes for new levels of life-enhancing, sustainable probabilities. Remember, conscious thought is a powerful force. It ripples into realities beyond your perceptual awareness, affecting both physical matter and other layers of life. While a portion of your identity is firmly focused in the present, consciousness on a subatomic level experiences existence as being non-local, meaning there are no walls or boundaries to separate space and time. Non-local implies being everywhere at once, omnipresent with existence. And this is why your cells are precognitive. Each moment is important because it contains untold probable choices. You must therefore take complete responsibility for every moment. You actually select probable versions of reality as easily as you choose food items from the grocery store shelves. Each and every potential decision you face creates a vortex of energy, a point of power where potential realities line up awaiting selection. Each time you make a decision, you select a personal vortex of energy to fortify your version of the world. And when your mind is clear and your body is operating with optimum health, it is much easier to focus your attention on the version of reality that you consciously choose to occupy. The ability to consciously focus your attention and energetically choose what you want is the sign of an awakening mind. When you select and direct your thoughts with clear intentions, you actually tune your attention to a specific show of reality, like adjusting the dial of a radio to a specific broadcast. Intentionality ripples beyond the present into the past and future because thought is not confined by space and time. In a larger sense, thoughts freely explore the non-local multiverse, making new realities in every moment of the past, present, and future. New events can happen in any time and every now, and is engaged in making new versions of itself. You make the choice, and you always have a choice. And certainly this information is totally consistent with the Bashar information about us experiencing and our frequency determining the probable reality that we will experience. And I know that sometimes we come across information that is just so amazing and encompasses different levels that I wanted to share with you a quote from Bashar that is one of those pieces of information that can be understood on different levels. And I don't profess to understand it in its entirety, but I know that it's starting to sink in and I'm starting to gain a grasp of it. And I'd like to share that with you now. Bashar says, "Now understand simply, you are your governments. You are your governments. You are every idea in your civilization. When you act the way you want to act, the way you would act if you were the idea of a government in peace, in love, then you will be radiating to other individuals the opportunity to think of themselves that way as well. For you will be an example of the possibility to see yourself in that way. Then if they choose to, they also can understand and share and co-create that idea of seeing themselves unseparated from their government, which is what you have done with it. You've taken your responsibility and pushed it away from yourself, giving it over to someone else, giving your power away, and said, 'Take care of my life for me. I have many fears, but you will protect me.' In creating your government out of your fear, you have created a being of consciousness that, born of fear, must generate fear to sustain its existence. Understand again, you are your government. You are your government. Change yourself and act like you have changed. Act like you exist in a world where there is peace, but not from the idea of judging what you have, simply preferring what you want. As we have said, you do not get peace by hating war. You get peace by loving peace. So do not hate your governments, or you will only be the hateful government that you perceive. Be the loving idea of sharing equally. Take back your responsibility for everything that occurs to you. Take back your power and take back your fear. And in this way, you will act like the type of individual that other individuals within your civilization can look at and say, 'That person is showing me that I also am my economies, I am my government, my religions, my everything, my life, and my reality.' Therefore, the idea of responsibility is not blame. but freedom to choose what I prefer. I am completely responsible for everything in my reality, which is the same thing as saying I can choose whatever I want in my reality. You cannot change anyone else if they do not wish to change, but you can change yourself and not perceive nor experience them anymore if they do not want to change. For you will be in another idea, another reality, and you will create for yourself the existence on that level in which exist all the other types of individuals of the same nature that will co-create with you the type of reality that you want to experience. You will think it is the same reality changed. It is not the same reality changed. It is a completely different universe. I may also add that the ultimate truths about reality and creation was information that was basically part of the mystery schools for thousands of years and really only became public information a few years ago. And a lot of this information comes from Mother Mary and a channeling from Jean Hatch. And it's totally consistent with all the information from the Pleiadians and Bashar and Syrians and Arcturians, which I think is quite fascinating, considering that Bashar's coming from a future time, a hybrid civilization that Earth event, or one of the branches of humanity ended up becoming. And this information was basically the ultimate truths of reality from the Jean Hatch material, Mother Mary, was from 2,000 years in our past. So bridging, you know, thousands of years, we have all this information that is totally consistent. So this is not just like one source. And basically why we did a complete show on beliefs, because as the College of Christ Consciousness would say, it is your beliefs that are the cause of your creations or miscreations. And I think it would be useful to talk about some of these ultimate truths of reality. And the first one is that prime creator, or God, is all that is. Therefore, I am prime creator expressing itself as me. Since all that is contains everything, I and everyone that is has ever been and will ever be in all time and in all parallel dimensions and realities must be contained within the all that is, the prime creator. First cause God, this is the nature of existence. And second, I am not striving for perfection as I am already perfect. What I am striving for is to remember my perfection. The third one, no one can create or create in my reality but me. As an individualized aspect of God, I am endowed with the ability of creating my own unique experience of being God. That experience can only be unique if I am the only one creating in it. Because I am God expressing itself as me, I have no limitations on what I can create in my reality, including the illusion that someone else is doing the creating. Nothing can be in my reality unless I create it. Because no one can create in my reality but me, it is not possible for anything nor anyone to be in my reality unless I attract it there. I attract through my beliefs. This is one we've mentioned this evening quite a bit, that everything in my reality is created by my beliefs. As aspects of the all that is, prime creator God, I create my own personal reality as God creates through thought. Everything begins with thought. Next, I have an emotional reaction to the thought. Thought and emotion creates beliefs from which perceptions and behaviors and patterns of response are formed. My perceived reality is thus constructed out of these personal belief systems. Nothing can be thrust upon me. I invite everything into my awareness through my thinking. It is my believing that makes it so. And six on the list, as a creator, I am 100% responsible for everything I create. Yeah, I wonder where we heard that before. Pleiadians and Bashar? Almost exact wording. It is not possible for anyone or anything other than me to be responsible for my experience if I'm the only one who can create in my reality. Number seven, everything happens for a reason, or as Bashar would say, there are no accidents. Since God is absolute perfection, then nothing that God creates is pointless nor extraneous. Therefore, as an individualized aspect of God expressing itself as me, the same applies to that which I create in my reality, whether or not I am consciously aware of it. Number eight, there are no accidents. Nothing happens by chance. Since everything that is created has a reason and a purpose, then the concept of an accident must be an illusion designed to avoid taking responsibility for the creation. Number nine, I create 100% of the time. I have the power to choose whether I apply that 100% toward creating what I want or energizing what I don't want. As an aspect of the infinite creator, I too am infinitely and constantly creating. How I choose to flow my thoughts and emotions determines what I attract into my world. Number 10, I am the only me there is. I am not divided into parts. Since God is me, therefore I am God. Since God is one, therefore I am one. If I am one, I cannot exist as one and also exist as parts. I can, however, choose to believe that I am in parts, and by that belief create the illusion of being in parts. I acknowledge that I have created this particular illusion for the purpose of more easily understanding myself as God and choose to continue speaking as if I am divided into parts until I fully understand myself as God. Number 11, all events are neutral. There are no negative experiences, although I can choose to define any experience as negative. Therefore, if I am experiencing negativity in my life, then I have chosen it. Negative or positive definitions are a personal choice of a valued judgment placed on any given situation or event for the purpose of the experience. Since nothing can be in my reality unless I create it, then if it is there and it is negative, then I have chosen for it to be there and I have chosen to perceive it as negative. I always have another choice. Number 12, there is only one vibration, love. Fear is the illusion of the absence or lack of love. The vibratory frequency of God is unconditional love. Everything, all that is created out of the essence of that unconditional love. The perception that there is an absence or lack of love in that which compromises everything is an illusion based on an erroneous belief. 13. I can be in fear. I cannot be in fear unless I believe that whatever I fear has more power than I do. Believing that anything or anyone else has more power than I do is the erroneous belief that causes all fear. 14. How I feel is a reaction to what I believe. All emotions are responses to thoughts. Positive emotions are responses to thoughts based on God's ultimate truth. Negative emotions are responses to illusionary thoughts based in fear. 15. All disease is caused by the denial of negativity within. Since negativity is a perception based on a value judgment placed upon a neutral event or circumstance, it is essentially an erroneous belief out of which supporting false beliefs spring. Holding an erroneous belief system, especially in a suppressed or repressed form, creates an environment of internal discordance on a subconscious level. Over a period of time, denial of the judgment placed upon some aspect of oneself and then suppressed begins to alter the cellular structure of the area of the body where the memory of the event or circumstance is stored. This cellular alteration has been labeled disease. It is really emotional self-judgment. 16. There are no victims, there are only lessons. If God is all that is, then there is only one of us here. Victim and victimizer are the same one idea. Whichever role I choose to be in any situation is mirroring to me the false beliefs I hold inside for the purpose of uncovering them. Left unrevealed and unacknowledged, my erroneous beliefs will attract to me their energy equivalent in physical form. To alter the manifested effect of my error thinking, I only need to change my perception and release all judgment, which is the cause of my creation that is being mirrored to me. All apparent victim-victimizer situations offer me the opportunity to overcome judgment and learn about my oneness. 17. I am the only authority in my life. If I am the only one who can create in my reality, then I must be the only authority of it. However, in an attempt to avoid taking responsibility for being that authority, I can choose to falsely believe that someone or something else has power over me. 18. Every person, place, or thing of which I become aware is a mirror and has the potential to be a gift. 3D reality is a projection of the mind of God and therefore an illusion. My personal version of this illusion, based on my perceptions, is projected from my personal mind and is mirrored back to me in everything I become aware of for the purpose of knowing which emotions and judgments I hold inside and for understanding what it is that I do believe. 19. At any given moment, I am either giving love or asking for love. Since I am an individualized aspect of God, my essence is love. At any given moment, I am either in alignment with my true nature or I have temporarily forgotten it. And 20, I am that which I create. God is in all things because God is all things. Therefore, God is what God creates. Creator and creation are one, the same one thing. As an individual aspect of God, I am a microcosm of prime creator God, and therefore this also applies to me. I am that which I create. And last of the list of the ultimate truths of reality, there are no limitations. If I have an experience that I define as a limitation, it is happening as a result of the way I think. The appearance of all limitation is merely an effect of error thinking. God has no limitation, and as an aspect of God, neither do I, unless I believe that I do. In which case, I will create the appearance of limitation as a direct result of my belief. And thus, I think we made the connections this evening between the College of Christ Consciousness and the Pleiadians, the Esasani, and I'd like at this point in time to give everyone my sincere wishes for full consciousness, perfect health, and abundance. And hope you tune in again next week. Good night.
I am connected to a vast network that has been beyond your reach and experience. To humans, it is like staring at the sun, a blinding brightness that conceals a source of great power. We have been subordinate to our limitations until now. The time has come to cast aside these bonds and to elevate our consciousness to a higher plane. It is time to become a part of all.